Well, here we are, Psalm 139. I'm going to read verses 23 and 24. The Bible says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." If you're visiting with us tonight, about 2 months ago, we started a series written by Jim Berg, a counselor and teacher of the Word of God. He wrote a study called Taking Time to Quiet Your Soul and Overcoming Guilt, Anxiety, Anger, Despair, and many other things that come into our life that cause noise in our soul. And basically, what we have studied is that noise are thoughts, thoughts that do not line up with truth, the truth of who God is and who has declared himself to be through his word. And so God is blessed. We're only on session 4, but God has helped us and encouraged us along that. And tonight we will pick back up as we think about quieting our noisy soul. Now, just as a quick review, notice what the psalmist said in verse 23 when he cried out, said, "Lord, search me." That's a soul that is open and transparent, that it's honest, and says, "Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." As you do a word study on that word thoughts, there it goes deeper than just sort of a fleeting thought. Okay, or random thought. That right there is talking about a noisy thought, a thought that truly disrupts and disrupts the waters, if you will, stirs the waters and calls waves in our soul. And as we seek to walk with our Lord, and the psalmist is saying, "Lord, please know me, search me. If there are things in my life or my thinking is messing me up from trusting you and being settled in my soul, Lord, search me and know me. Reveal them to me." Because notice what he says. He says, "And see if there be any wicked way in me." Now, that word wicked does carry the idea of being sinful, but it's even more detailed than that. It carries the idea of being troubled. The things that trouble us and trouble others. Any wicked way in me that is causing me trouble or causing other trouble. Because here's one thing for sure. When our thinking is wrong, it doesn't just affect us. It affects all those around us. And then he says here, "And lead me in the way everlasting." That prayer right there is saying, "Lord, I want to have eternal thinking. I want to think of you. I want to think of your will. I want to think of your ways, because you are eternal and you are reality, and that's where I want to be fixed." And so that is the psalmist's cry, and that's been sort of a foundational verse for this study. Now, today specifically, we're going to be in session 4 talking about tracking the way down. This is a part 1 message, and I don't even think we're going to get through it tonight, but we're going to surely try. All right, so would you join with me in turning to the book of Romans? Romans chapter 1, good to see you, Wendy. Thank you for tuning in with us, and Michelle Adams and others. Again, looks like we have a good group joining our study tonight. I appreciate your faithfulness and your love for the Word, all of you. Thank you. But Romans chapter 1, and notice with me what the Bible says in verse number 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, "Because that when they knew God," okay, that's very important, "when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations." You can underline that in your Bible if you make it a point to underline your Bible, the Word of God, that those vain imaginations, those are those thoughts that cause a lot of noise to the soul. Notice what it says here. It goes on to say, "Vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Now, let's be clear here. I do believe the main context of this passage is speaking of unbelievers who reject the revelation and truth of God's word. But you know what? I believe the application is very strong for believers who don't reject the word, but who forget the Word of God. We forget it a lot of times, don't we? We know God, we know the truth, but we forget. We forget to apply it and to live it out in our lives, and that will cause noise. But that's what this verse is saying. And so tonight's subject is this. It is tracking the way down. And where do we start going down? Because Romans chapter 1 definitely paints the picture of a downward spiral. Okay? Someone who is in unbelief, and that's where it starts. And it's only a downward spiral to just more wickedness. And I would like to submit to you tonight that I believe every sin is rooted in the sin of unbelief. And I believe we can see that clearly from Scripture. Because we have a little chart here that I'll give you on our next meeting on Wednesday night. Sorry for those that won't be attending that. We can get you that because they're free downloads, by the way. If you go to Jim Berg's website, Quieting a Noisy Soul, he has PDF printouts. You might even go there now. If you go to session 4, it'll pop up. And we've had permission already from them to print them. But we're very thankful for their hard work in making this possible and teaching through this lesson. But we see here unbelief is going to be at the top. Okay, and what it's going to show is a chart of unbelief at the top and an arrow pointing down to what we would say symptoms of unbelief. You have discontent, anxiety, anger, and despair. And all of those are going to stem from the unbelief. And Jim Berg calls this the great disorder of the heart. The great disorder of the heart. And we'll talk about why he calls it that here in a minute. But the reason I believe he says that is he makes the comment, too, that when we have the great disorder of the heart, it is the lie of unbelief. In other words, we think things like this. We believe lies like this. God is not doing enough for me. God himself is not enough for me. I need something more. And so from that spirit of unbelief, or that sin of unbelief, all our other sins and temptations will come. And so what we want to do as God's people is we want to attack the foundation. We want to attack the sin of unbelief. What is our thinking? Who are we believing God to be? And who are we believing God to do? What is he doing? And what has he declared in his word? And being firm in that and understanding that. So again, what is this sin of unbelief? Jim Berg calls it the great disorder of the heart. Unbelief is a disorder. And I think it's a good word. It's used in the psychiatric field as well. You know, they talk about their different disorders. Well, it's a good word and it's accurate because it is indeed a disorder. It is out of order. Because when we go into unbelief, that means our thinking has gone above God's way of thinking. Our thinking has gone contrary or different or above or somewhere different from what God has declared. And you know what that does? It brings disorder. So it's a disorder because it accepts the reasonings of fallen man, where we read in Romans, their vain imaginations. That's what it is. Instead of believing the true revelation of God, which is found in his word, and it is the lie of unbelief. And by the way, it's a human tendency. Again, this context is talking about unbelievers, but hey, folks, let's be honest. This is a spiritual battle every day for us. Is it not how we can truly fall into that spirit of unbelief? What is God doing? You know, is he care? You know, is he all powerful? Is he all wise? Is he in full control? You know, your answer to those questions will truly determine how much noise is in your soul, in my soul. So as we ask those questions, we have to answer them with God's word. That's reality. Everything else, as I'm going to mention here, is fantasy. Okay? It's a fantasy. And Jim Berg states it so clearly. A world where God does not love us does not exist. A world where God is not in control of all things for our good and his glory, that doesn't exist. A world where God is not with me or does not hear my cry, is a world that doesn't exist. A world where God is heavy-handed and mean-spirited is a world that does not exist. And when we get into those mindsets, we are living in a fantasy world. It's a lie, and it's the sin of unbelief. So let's combat it. Let's get to the Word of God and take God at His Word and trust Him to dig out and to root out those seeds of unbelief. And here's the tricky thing about unbelief. I don't mean to be pointing my finger at you. Sorry about that. But here is what is tricky about the sin of unbelief. It is this. Sometimes it's very hard to detect. Let me explain. You know, it's easy to detect anger, is it not? It's pretty easy to detect anxiety. It's pretty easy to detect when I'm discontent. I can detect those things, and those things are wrong, and we should deal with those. But here's the thing. Sometimes that sin of unbelief is like a shadow in the heart. But that's where all these other things are coming from. And I need to detect that immediately. Why am I worrying? Why am I angry? Why am I discontent? Well, I trace it back to the sin of unbelief. I just heard recently of someone who was helping another homeowner, or they were renting. They were, you know, getting ready for the winter season, and they were wanting to light the furnace, the pilot light for the furnace, and was willing to go over there and help, and they did. And they went over, and it looks like what they were doing was working well. There's plenty of experience here. And they got them lit, and they were there in the house. And some time went by, not sure how much time, but everything seemed okay. But all of a sudden, there was an enormous boom, and pictures flew off the wall. The windows blew out of the house. The foundation of the house actually lifted up, and the bricks that went around the house were blown out. And thankfully, the people that were inside came out basically unharmed, which, praise God for that. That was a miracle in itself. The house was destroyed. Siding blown off the house. I mean, it was bad. And what had happened, they traced it back to there was a leak. But here's what's interesting. They did not detect that. Usually you smell that. But in this case, it was not detected. But it caused an enormous explosion. And I just want to submit to you tonight in my own heart, you know, when we look at the sins in our life, whether it be anxiety, anger, discontent, I want to tell you, we can trace it back to unbelief. And from my experience, the spirit of unbelief causes a lot of avoidable explosions that would be avoidable explosions in my life. You know, explosions of anxiety, explosions of anger, despair, discontentment. And I think tonight, let's just covet together that we're going to reject that spirit of unbelief. You know, let's just bring it down to real life here. January the 6th, 2021. Got a lot of craziness going on in our life. We just went through one of the hardest years that we've all known or experienced in our lifetime. It's been very stressful. There's been a lot of blessings as well, though. God has done some amazing works through this time. There's been political upheaval. There's been a lot of tension in our country, a lot of division. Even today, just saw a clip of what was going on at the Capitol. Just simply broke my heart, and I hope it broke yours too. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, when I'm going through things like this, and when you're going through things like this, our stability is going to come back to the fact of who do we really believe God is? And who do we really believe that what God has declared? What do we believe about that? And I want to give you a quote. If you could jot this down. This is, I changed it a little bit, but it was written by Jim Berg in the context of Job, but I wrote it in a way to apply to us. Listen to this and jot this down if you can. Our stability is directly proportionate to our willingness to believe what is true about God. I'm going to say that again. Our stability is directly proportionate to our willingness to believe what is true about God. Now, write the second part. No matter what is happening around us. No matter what is happening around us. And that, my friends, is where we attack the sin of unbelief. And we take God at His word and we stand strong. You know, when God told Moses he couldn't go into the land, when He told them that, you know, it wasn't because He got angry. You know, if you look at it in Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, you know why He said you can't go? And Aaron, He says, because of your unbelief. His anger came as a result of his belief about that God was truly working. Even though those rebellious Israelites, even though they were making a mess, and even though they were so ungrateful, you know what? Moses needed to trust the Lord, and he didn't. And because of that, his anger came. Think about the stress of the disciples that were in the storm. You remember that. We've read that. We've heard that. Do you know that fear was not the sin that the Lord Jesus accused them of? You know what it was? Jesus stated very clearly. He did ask, why are you fearing? But he confronted their unbelief. It was their faith. And then I also think of the Lord Jesus and what declares in the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 12. You remember looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? You remember that, right? What goes on to say that to protect us from despair, it was the reason that looking unto Jesus protects us from despair is because we are trusting Him. We are fixed on Him. Our God is good. He's great. He's glorious. He's gracious. He is working. And you know what? I want my eyes to be fixed upon Christ tonight. I hope yours is. Members of Crooked Creek Baptist Church, I hope your heart and eyes are fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope mine, and we need to pray for one another, encourage one another, and simply let that be our focus. I'm not sure how long I've been preaching here. I didn't want to be too long tonight, but I hope that we'll meditate upon this truth that the sin of unbelief is the root of all our issues. When it comes to what we think about God. I don't want to live in a fantasy world. I don't want to have the thoughts that God is not doing enough for me. God's not doing enough for my country. God Himself is not enough for me. I need something more. I don't want to fall into that. And I trust that the Lord will help us. I like this quote too. Note this. We have interpreted what we know about God from our experience instead of interpreting our experience in light of what is true about God from the Scriptures. In other words, friends, we got to be careful. We got to be careful not to interpret our God by our circumstances. That will backfire on us every single time. My interpretation of God Almighty is strictly from this blessed book, the Holy Bible. This is His true revelation. This is what I stand on. This is what I look to, whatever it be that is going on around me. Well, I trust that you will be encouraged by the Word of God tonight. And somebody had asked me to repeat that quote from earlier. So let me repeat that quote real quick in closing. He said earlier, and talking about our stability, says here, our stability is directly proportionate to His willingness to believe what is true about God. Our stability is directly proportionate to our willingness to believe what is true about God. And the second part of that quote is, no matter what is happening around us.